I thought for this last section, we could reflect in a broader way on the biblical teaching on poverty. I'm going to talk mostly about the Beatitudes, but the Bible also talks about sin. Some people are poor because others are sinning against them. So this Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, Matthew adds, for theirs, yours, in Luke, is the kingdom of heaven. So the three key words, blessed, poor, and kingdom, make of this beatitude the first in order, and as it were, the parent and generation of the virtues. That's a remark of St. Ambrose. I'm going to be reading some from these sheets. They're the manuscript of an article I published 10 years ago, I guess. A culture reveals much of itself in what it calls blessed or happy. Makarios is a Greek word that reflects both its native context within Greek, ancient Greek, and more recent Hellenistic culture, and its prose transposed context within Hellenistic Judaism, whose own roots are in the religious tradition and sacred literature of Israel. As is the case with so many words in the New Testament, we must attend carefully to the manner in which the cultural insights and ideals of the Greek world have been subtly or overtly transformed within the biblical tradition. Now, I'm skipping, obviously. In the Septuagint, nearly all the instances of Makarios, blessed, represent the root asher, asherei, a term which appears in late Jewish literature and is most often found in the philosophical, if you will, tradition of the wisdom literature. And here we can see the influence of Egyptian thought. On the other hand, these blessings constitute the majority of the sayings, congratulations, are offered to those who pursue a course of action that is in keeping with the will of God, since this constitutes both a present and a future blessing. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. The way of the wicked will perish. And so it's a blessing now, and it will be a blessing forever. I want to spend more time, I'll be back to those, blessed is the one who considers the poor. The Lord delivers him in the day of trouble. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. That's Psalm 41. Now, if we ask ourselves, who are the poor who are pronounced blessed? We see that in a way, neither of the two kind of categories of the Old Testament, actually physically poor or poor in the way that I just described in this text. The blessing is given to the poor as a grace, while at the same time some action on the part of the poor is implied. Since the fundamental allusion is to those poor who were suffering in the exile because of their fidelity to God, to Adonai, and to whom the anointed messenger is promised. Deep fidelity to God has sociological consequences, and it does in our own day as well, and will even more, probably. Especially in a situation of persecution and oppression. If I am a firm Christian and say so, that is going to have sociological consequences. It could wind me up in jail. We may see the same principle at work in regard to another class of people who are classified as those who tremble at the word of Adonai. This is another beautiful thing I don't have time to get into, but I want to say this much about it. In 2 Isaiah, we read, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What is the house which you would build for me?" They're back from exile. They want to build a big, splendid house, so everybody can see we're back and we're big shots. And this is the word of the Lord to them. See? What is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things are mine, says the Lord. But this is the man to whom I will look, he that is humble and contrite, that's broken in spirit, and trembles at my word. The one who trembles at my word, that's the one I love. That's the one. Jesus trembled at my word. It was so awesome. What I wanted was more important than anything else. You see, in the same way, being poor is a sociological reality. Those who eschew the unjust exercise of power and who do not compromise the will of God are not likely to be among the rich and powerful. This is all the more true in times of persecution, as can be seen in any modern country which makes life difficult for Christians, in some ways including our own. You see, if you're for pro-life, you could lose your job. And that's what they're talking about here. In proclaiming the poor blessed, Jesus at one and the same time made a messianic claim for himself. He is the anointed servant sent to the poor as foretold in Isaiah 61. And he asserts that the underprivileged are now the privileged. Luke, by simply mentioning the poor, accents those whose lot is to be poor and those whose faith decisions have made them poor. God, in sending Jesus, has made a preferential option for the poor, but they are free to accept or reject his offer. Matthew places the accent on the internalizing awakes the poor privileged, namely, a broken heart. The expression, poor in spirit, hanvei ruach, is found twice at Qumran. Both times, the text is isolated by lacunae. Ulrich Lewes sees in these texts, especially the second, a combination of nuances, despairing, without hope, and humble. It's all implied in these anawim weir, as used at Qumran. And so you see, it's that to be poor and to rejoice in poverty is to want to be cared for by God. We have a perfect example in the spiritual life, St. Therese. I just want to be a child. You take care of me, you give me whatever you want. I will accept suffering, darkness, whatever. You know, I am your child, you care for me. And that text from Isaiah, you shall be carried at the breast and fondled on the lap. That's the text that set her whole life you will be cared for by God. Well, was she? Oh, yes. But part of that care was to be the patron saint of atheists. At the end of her life, on one level of her being, she was convinced it's all a joke. They're going to die. They're going to throw my body in a hole in the ground, and that's that. She knew better. So much of her being was there. You see? And she suffered through that anguish. And because of that, this is my expression, she's the patron saint of the atheist. How many atheists have gone through that, not as deeply as she did, and come out of it because of the grace she won for them, and still does. And so it's the same with poverty, you see. Matthew places the accent, see, Luke is first, I should go back, by simply mentioning the poor, accents the sociological condition of those so addressed, making no distinction between those whose lot is to be poor and those whose faith decisions have made them poor. Back then and now, you could be a Christian in a business, and because you're honest, because you won't lie, you're going to lose your job as poor. But you're opting to be poor. You see? In any case, just as Luke implies, some openness on the part of the poor to receive the blessing, so Matthew does not so internalize physical poverty as to ignore the fact that humility and being without resources can exercise a mutual and sociological causality. If we're broke, we're not likely to throw our weight around because we have no weight. And certain people so treasure that that they don't want anything. They just want to depend on God. And those on the Makarigi, those are the poor. You see? And now the kingdom of God is theirs. Just as poor contains within itself the notions of mourning and hungry, so too does the word or expression kingdom of God contain within itself all the other promises. They shall be filled, they shall be, you see. Without a doubt, the proclamation of the breaking into history of the kingdom and reign of God, its presence and future consummation, is the very core of Jesus' preaching as it is recorded for us in the Synoptics. Now I'm going to read you a quote from Rudolf Schnakenberg in his book, God's Rule and Kingdom. As announced by Jesus, the reign of God is not an awareness of God's sovereign power over the universe or of God's kingship over Israel, long established and still enduring. Though both these concepts are presupposed, it is the announcement of God's kingship in its full realization, fully active, eschatologically, you know, irrevocable. God takes care of those who look to God for care. And those are the poor. I don't want a lot of stuff because it'll insulate me from my experience of dependence on God. So a poor man is one who rejoices in the experience of dependence on God. Now for most of us, we have to be taught that little by little. We have to have failure. We have to have rejection. We have to have sickness. We have to have all these wonderful things so that we rely on God. And then we're poor. And when we're poor, theirs is the kingdom of heaven already. And that's what this text, this beatitude is all about, you see. God has begun. I'm reading now from my text. This is an article. I published it already, I'm quite sure. God has begun in the preaching, life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, to inaugurate his kingdom. This kingdom is the realm where all that God ever promises people is transcendentally fulfilled. The poor are those who know the truth of the kingdom of God in icon. That is, they experience the kingdom, but in a mode of existence not proper to the kingdom itself. Just as the Eucharist is the heavenly banquet of the kingdom present in icon. We're not in heaven. We have the heavenly banquet, but in icon, in symbol. It's real. It's there. This is my body. This is my blood. But we don't live in the kingdom the way those the blessed do. Same with this beatitude. So, just as the Eucharist is the heavenly banquet of the kingdom present in icon. An icon is the same reality, but present in a different mode of existence. So the limitations and suffering of the poor who receive the kingdom are the sacrament of its power and promise of fulfillment. Blessedness, congratulations are pronounced by Jesus upon those who perpetuate the interior and exterior state of the poor, mourning and hungry exiles, who awaited the good news to be proclaimed by the messenger. Your God has begun to reign. That's the text in Isaiah 52. They are now blessed because the one anointed to bring good news to the poor is here present, still in our midst, and it has yet not appeared what he shall be. And so you see, this we're discussing this now in the terms of the text we had. It's the blessedness of those who know they're poor and want to be dependent on God. Amen.